You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. An afternoon drive home like no other.
For $7,000 or $8,000, they take hair off the like the bottom of your head and they sew it into the top. And it's like you got to wear some kind of helmet for like a week.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Well, you come in with a helmet on. Well, what happened? I just had some hair from my ass stapled to my forehead.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, Steve Phillips coming up in about 10 minutes on what he saw out of Josh Donaldson last night, making his debut for the Tribe. What he saw out of Ryan Borucki last night for the Jays. What a shock they lost in Boston. Sox now going for 100 wins tonight. So we'll catch up with Steve Phillips in about 10 minutes. Lots of hockey news and notes out there, some football news as well. We'll get to that in a moment. But meant to bring this up in the previous hour. We got some news because we threw this idea out last year, I think it was. We don't take a lot of calls on this show, if ever. And we get some complaints about that. People want to call in, and we understand that. And there are times where we do take calls, and there will be times this year where we will take calls. But one of us came up with the idea of just having a hotline, basically a voicemail.
Yeah.
Where people can call in at any point with anything that's on their mind. And we're going to have a voicemail set up. We're going to decide a date when we reveal it.
Yeah.
What the number is. We've got that all sorted out.
We fire it up Monday, and it'll be a great Monday thing because people can rant about what happened on the weekends, and that's a great time to do it.
So only once a week. Like
maybe
every
we do it once a week. Every Monday we do it, coming off the weekend.
That's a great time to do it. Free material. You guys are starting to listen.
Yeah, well, we got to, you know, vet the calls and filter through the calls, but...
I'll even come in early to do that.
No, you won't.
Yeah, I will.
No,
I'm going to new levels this year.
Lies. Oh, he lies.
There you go. Lying Jeff O'Neill. So, we'll tell you the number when we're all set up and what we're looking for. Let's be honest. We want degenerates to call in with crazy takes, but occasionally we'll take real calls with real questions and...
Really? When is that?
No.
Well, I'm saying the hotline we're going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm saying we get it fired up Monday. That's what we're starting.
Occasionally we'll play the message. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. We're going to, well, people call in. Yeah, we're going to play calls.
We're going to play the message. We're not going to play anything ridiculous, so don't even think about it. But Friday, we're going to get you queued up with what the number is.
Yes.
And Monday, we will start operating this machine.
Okay, why don't we do that? We'll have it open this weekend. So you can call in. You can leave a message at any point. Okay. And we'll filter through whatever, and we'll play a few calls on Monday. How's that sound?
Love it. Love it. First segment Monday.
Well, we'll see what comes out of the weekend. I mean, NHLers will be in camp. When is the preseason start?
Eric Carlson gets traded Sunday night at 1 o'clock in the morning. We're playing some jackass calling from...
Don't worry
I would
about
love that,
it. We're
though.
Not going to take a jackass call.
No, if someone calls in, though, and they're 15 beers deep and it's funny, we'll play it.
Right.
You know, but... If you're just drooling on the phone, then we're not going to play.
That's
you've
got to
have
saying.
Something interesting to talk about.
Yeah, bring some takes.
Trust me, I like taking calls, but I don't like. I dealt with this post game with the Pat Man, and it's just hang up. I'm not doing it. Hang up. Goodbye.
It's going to be fun doing pre and post this year for the Maple Leafs. Post game phone calls.
No, nobody
if they
calls.
Get off to the right start.
Nobody calls when it's good. They just want to call Ronnie from Port Colborne, 15 Ryan Cokes. Trade everybody after a loss.
It is true, actually.
Win? Honestly, win, no calls.
Feathers.
Feathers.
Yeah, we have talked about that before. Remember, like, when the Hawks were winning cups all the time, and we were like, it would be cool to do Hawks lunch?
Malls, you used to do the Leaf games, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Nobody would call when they win.
No one.
5-0 loss, everything is on fire.
Phone lines are open. Yeah, so I guess you got to get more creative. If they're actually going to be this good of a team, and... They put out all the tire fires and nothing
there'll
controversial takes place.
No, I feel like there'll always be something. They'll win 4-1, and why did Babcock put out this guy for that draw in this end? People are pissed off about it.
Yeah, I mean that's more just
nitpicking.
It's nitpicking, but it's also a passion for it, right?
Yeah,
you love it. You're so invested. Every game matters, which I embrace because look what we're going through with the Blue Jays right now. What are you gonna say about anything that happens during the game?
Nothing.
You know, you talk big picture, but you're not on the edge of your seat for first pitch. You're not like, I can't wait to see what happens tonight. Wins and losses have been irrelevant pretty much since the middle of April. if the Leafs perform the way we expect them to perform, same thing with the Raptors, every game is going to matter. They're going to be fighting for position.
Right.
More so with the Leafs than the Raps, because the Raps are more than likely going to finish with home court in the first round, as long as you're a top four seed, because they have the conventional seeding, 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7.
Right.
Because the NHL has complicated everything with the two wild cards and the divisional series in the first round, that is more than likely going to be the focus when it comes to the standings all year, if we think it plays out the way we think it's going to play out. Right. Tampa, Boston, Toronto jockeying for position.
Right.
Because if those three powerhouses actually reveal themselves as powerhouses, you got to get that top seed.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
Or else the Leafs could be out in the first round. They could play Tampa in the first round and lose.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, which would be, you know. Anyways, we'll deal with that bridge. Let's not
even
head down that road.
You're crossing a bridge that
let's get through a season
isn't in front of us right now,
exactly.
I know. But
because you know, no guarantee Boston's going to be right there. There is no guarantee.
No. No guarantee anything's going to happen.
Like, I think there's a lot to look forward to before that. But I think the Monday phone call, they'll probably surprise us. There'll be some good stuff.
I think there'll be some great material.
Yeah.
So beyond Nylander, though, once this gets done, and we don't know when it's going to get done, what's the next big issue?
It's slotting in training camp. So it's Sparks and McElhinney. It's the where Dermott's going to play. Who's going to make the team in that, let's call it the sixth slot on D? Who's your fourth line center? How's everything going to shake down as far as, you know, pairs or Babcock, who he wants to pair with?
I think it goes right to the other contracts, to be honest with you.
No.
The rest of the stuff is just...
You think we start immediately talking about why Matthews hasn't signed? Or using the number that Nylander gets as a barometer?
He's just one of those guys that's been automatic in the past with the star players. It's like you play your 2 years, you're dominant, and you...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just one of those things that's been an automatic with other organizations and other players of this caliber. With Connor McDavid, it was kind of some negotiations and talk of big numbers, but they all got done. Eichel done. Draisaitl done. McDavid done.
So quiet in Edmonton. Like, think about where we were this time last year.
We were picking them as cup favorites.
Yeah. The eve of training camp, everybody was focused on Edmonton.
I don't think everyone was picking them as cup favorites.
Well, not okay, but no one had them.
Good.
No
yeah.
one had them as brutal.
No.
Like, who had them as a complete disaster?
I don't think they're brutal this year. I don't think that. I think they'll be a playoff team.
You think they're getting in?
Well, yeah. If the goalie actually plays and just stops his actual career average save percentage, they better
get way better on the penalty kill, on the power play. Their special teams were a joke.
They were. But, like, you need your players to play better. Other than McDavid and Nurse, I think Draisaitl picked it up near the end of the year. Everyone on that team had terrible years. There wasn't anybody that was... I mean, there's a couple guys that kind of broke through and were like, okay, you're NHLers now. They need the players on that team to play up to their potential. I think they're a playoff team.
Well, I'm not convinced they're a playoff team. I like Calgary more than I like Edmonton.
I think there's some teams
that division is tough to figure out. Yeah, I mean, Vegas, I don't think they're going to... Although, you know, Pacioretty and Stastny rolling.
Exactly, and they dub. If, say, Vegas gets Carlson.
Well, then all bets are off. Then they're expected to be a playoff
team. I think Vegas is making the playoffs with or without Carlson. I don't think you're going to see how good they were. Like, they were a dominant team in the West.
I understand that.
I don't see how that drops off.
But I will say, I see how it drops off is because they're not going to surprise anybody anymore. Like I said about the Leafs, people are going to play their best game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. If you don't, you're going to lose 8-0. And I think people are going to be ready for Vegas. It's where people are going to sleep on. You're going to sleep on the Chicagos. You're going to sleep on teams that you think have passed their apex, and this team, you know, can't get there, can't do that. And all of a sudden, I know Crawford is doesn't even look like he's coming into camp, so that's a real big problem.
Chicago's
Cam Ward's
trouble.
Not going to be able to deliver what Corey Crawford could, but I'm just saying, like, you play Nashville, like, you better expect to have a good game or else they'll eat you alive. You play Winnipeg, I think Winnipeg's the best team in the NHL on paper, personally. There's no weakness in that lineup.
Yeah, them or Tampa for me.
Yeah, so Tampa's
very
right
different style, you know, different styles, but a ton of talent, so deep.
But you're playing Winnipeg, you better know, yeah, you better be on. So playing Vegas, you're not sleeping on them anymore. Great, Nate Schmidt's out for 20 games.
I understand that, but who in the playoffs sleeps? You know what I mean? They were in Game 6 of the Cup Final.
I just think that they're...
I don't think that applied in the playoffs.
People study, and players nowadays, a lot of them are students of the game. There are people that were watching that and saying, okay, this is how, you know, this is how Washington was able to beat them. This is how, you know, teams got games off of them.
I'm expecting them to take a step or two
I think they take a step
but
back,
yeah. They still might be right there on the border of a playoff team. That wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
We'll get back into this later in the hour. Here's Steve Phillips, our TSN Jays and MLB analyst. What's happening, Steve?
Hey, guys, good to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for doing this, man. It's great to have you back on the show. I saw you tweeting about Donaldson last night. He made his debut for the Tribe. He goes 0-4, but he survived. So.
What a drop-off, fellas. What a drop-off. We're talking about a former MVP, and we're talking about, this is what you said earlier, Brian, he was 0-4, but made a good throw at third.
Well, what do you make of that, Steve?
Well, look, he was 0-4. And right now, I think it's less about performance and hit for them, for the Indians, and just about him getting through it healthy, because they believe that once he gets his baseball legs underneath him, he's going to return to some level of a high performer. And what he showed was that his bottom half works extremely well in his swing. He is swinging the bat with venom and anger. And defensively, you know, testing that calf is going to be important, right? Because what you need to know what he can do and what he can't do. And his ability to kind of backhand the ball, go down to a knee, get up, push off, and make a strong throw across the infield, showing that his shoulder and his calf are working. I think from the Indians' perspective, they'll take the 0-4, and they got to see a guy who's healthy. And, oh, by the way, they won the game 2-0. So they, you know, you know, just on paper, the way their lineup looks with Lindor and Jose Ramirez and Encarnacion, and you know, you start to look at Mike with Brantley, Michael Brantley there too, and then Donaldson. Their 1-5 is about as impressive as you're going to see out there. And the Indians are a formidable opponent in the postseason. They're going to be a scary team because if they get Bauer back, they're 3 deep in the rotation. They've got Andrew Miller back in the bullpen with Hand and Otero and Cody Allen. They've got a real shot to be a challenge for teams in that American League playoff race.
Well, trying to get a read on who the favorite is in the American League is it's a difficult task, because based on wins and losses, Boston, they're probably going to hit triple digits tonight. And now you're going to get Sale back, and they're gearing him up to be healthy for the playoffs, and they're stacked. I love the Yankees, but they're going to be in a wild card game. Cleveland, you just listed their positives. Houston's been quiet, but they're up. You know, they're leading a very difficult division out in the AL West. Do you have a 1-2-3 in mind when you look at who's going to the playoffs in the AL?
Yeah, I have Houston 1, Cleveland 2, and then the Red Sox 3. Even though the Red Sox won the most games, I have some concerns about Sale. You know, he went one inning yesterday, 26 pitches. He was on a 40-pitch pitch count, but because he threw 26 in the first inning, they took him out. Now, he didn't have the same sort of life and action on his pitches. He's missed some time, and they're going to graduate him back in there. But I don't know what to trust about David Price in the postseason. What I do know, that the Boston Red Sox do not have a single pitcher in their rotation that has won a game as a starter. Not a single guy has won a game as a starter in the postseason for the Red Sox. David Price has 2 wins, both in relief. They do not have a single pitcher on their staff that's won a game in the postseason as a starting pitcher. So, in Cleveland, I just think with the Houston Astros have the most depth of starting pitching, and the Indians have the bullpen. The Astros have the ability to take some of the starters like a Brad Peacock and Colin McHugh, who's really done, who used to be a starter, is now doing a great job with their bullpen. So I go Houston 1 with the depth and experience, Cleveland 2, Boston 3, Yankees 4, Oakland A's 5.
How the hell does Chris Sale not have a playoff win? Like, from upstairs, if you're his man or general manager, like, what happens? Is it just choking? Is it just nerves?
You know what he is? He's like 6'6 and about 135 pounds. And, you know, he runs out of gas later in the season. And there was some thought that they were going to protect him a bit this year. Then he ended up with shoulder inflammation. And then he came back and made one start. Then went back out again on the DL with shoulder inflammation. And I think he runs out of gas a little bit. You know, he doesn't have that sort of any thickness to his body. And I think he gets overworked a bit because he's so good. You want to leave him in the game. But because he's so good, you need to protect him a little. They thought to do it this year, but I think it's caught up with him a little.
Well, complete coincidence, but when you think of pitchers, stud pitchers that can't get it done in the playoffs, you think of lefties. You think of Sale, you think of Price, and you think of Kershaw. And, you know, I don't know why that is. Kershaw's been a lot better in recent years, but early in his career it was a disaster. And I hold that against those guys. You know, I mean, I'm all for stats and I'm all for Cy Youngs, but you've got to get it done in the playoffs. And quite frankly, those guys just have not been able to do it. Limited sample size, but they haven't been able to get the job done. They don't look like horses whenever they're on the mound in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's not unfair. I mean, I think that look, they're still all three great pitchers. But it is a mark against them that they have not won the biggest games in October. And, you know, for Kershaw, it's been, you know, the seventh inning of games just seems to get away from him. And he can't seem to, you know, he pitches well, and then he has that one inning that gets away. For Price, at times it comes early, and it comes often. And for Sale, he's a one-inning guy, too, where things kind of bite him for an inning, and it gets away from him. I've always looked at it and believed, give me the guy who keeps getting me there, and sooner or later he'll figure it out. You know, Barry Bonds couldn't hit the postseason until he did. Alex Rodriguez couldn't hit the postseason until he did. And I, you know, if a guy's going to continuously get me to the playoffs as a pitcher, I think sooner or later he'll overcome whatever that is and have some level of success. The question is, you've got three guys, and I don't think you're right. They're all left-handed. I don't think it has anything to do with being left-handed, but it is interesting that it's the left-handers that have struggled.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, Baraki, he did not struggle at Fenway last night. He's had some issues there before. I mean, he's a young guy, but he looked pretty good. Thomas Pannone's been okay. Sean Reed Foley's been okay. Those are the three kids that have come up that will be fighting for positions in the spring. Of those three, Baraki, Pannone, and Reed Foley, who have you liked the most?
I like Baraki the most. I do. I like his stuff a little bit better than Pannone. And I think that, you know, all of them, I think Pannone has shown some real presence. He's calm out there. Reed Foley's got a little more energy to him, right? He's got a little bit more, maybe a little bit of the deer in the headlights early on here in his career. He gets a little bit more hyper that the game, you know, I think he speeds the game up with just his energy a little. And Baraki and Pannone have had that ability to slow things down a little bit, which is important, right? Every level, the game's a little bit faster, or at least it feels faster. And you know that when you're going right, everything slows down a little bit, and you feel like you've got some control over it. And it doesn't mean that Sean Reed Foley won't figure it out. I still am not convinced at some point he doesn't go to the bullpen. I think his breaking ball plays well in the bullpen, and you know, the question is he going to command his fastball enough to work himself through six or seven innings in a game efficiently enough to be able to do it? Because he does kind of cut across his body and open up some. But, you know, I like the left-handers a little more than Sean Reed Foley so far. Foley's got really good stuff, but it's been more difficult for him to command it. But I you know, Baraki's done a nice job against some pretty good lineups so far early on in his career. I've been impressed by him.
Great stuff, Steve. We'll do it again soon. Thanks, buddy.
Terrific. Thanks, guys.
Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, MLB analyst, liking Ryan Baraki. Interesting that he's got Houston 1. I mean, they're the reigning World Series champs. Cleveland 2, the Sox 3. Chris Sale, 6'6", 135 pounds.
He's more than that.
Just
he's
weighs,
got to weigh more.
Right, he was just saying, like, he was
trying to bring up the idea that
he just wears down,
and
just yeah.
Dies and
do you really believe, how heavy do you think he'd be?
At 6'6", I think it would be impossible at 6'6", for him to be 130 pounds.
Yeah, I think
he's got to be 190.
Look at his bio.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up. But, I mean, I think it's...
He is incredibly skinny, though.
He's not 130 pounds. I
no,
know
I don't. I think you're right. I mean, it's not possible that 6'6".
I think at 6'6", he's
82 kilograms. So,
oh, good luck. What the hell is that? Speak English.
185.
That sounds about right. 6'6", 185 though.
That's a lot different than 130.
Obviously.
130. That's Manute Bol out there.
Sorry, 180.
He's 180.
Yeah.
That might be fake news. He might be under that, and they boosted a little bit for ego.
I would say over.
Why would he fake it? If he's more than that, if you're at 6'6", and you're actually 190, you want people to know you're 190, wouldn't you? What are you trying to hide?
Chris Pronger's 6'6", and he's a slim guy, but
like,
you know what?
He used to play at 208. 6'6", 208.
That's skinny.
He was thin. He's size 9 feet.
Really?
Yeah. Like a 6'6". Tweety bird.
Yeah. Thanks again to Steve Phillips. So, some news out of Buffalo. Josh Allen is taking over for Nathan Peterman. We'll get into that.
You never know.
What's up with Erik Karlsson? Could he be on his way out of Ottawa in the next 24 hours?
Never know.
Never know.
Is William Nylander going to get anywhere close to $8 million a year?
Never know.
What else can I keep throwing out?
Are we going to keep going in the survivor pool?
Never know.
Will Tyler Seguin be getting a new deal down in Dallas?
Never know.
All right, that's enough.
Pats beat the Jags coming up this weekend?
Never know.
That'll be a tough game.
Has Doug Marrone watched the Super Bowl in the past 25 years?
Yeah. Never know.
He's lying.
Will they be busting tables in Buffalo this weekend?
Never know.
Do we have a hotline that's going to be unveiled later in the week?
Never know.
Will it fire up on Monday?
Never know.
All right, Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. The 2018 Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer in support of Princess Margaret is quickly approaching September 29th at Woodbine Racetrack. If you know someone that's participating in the tournament, show your support. Visit teamuptoconquercancer.ca and look for the green button that says donate. TSN Up Close and Unfiltered coming to the Hall of Fame on September 25th. Tickets went on sale this morning. They sold out almost immediately. A couple people texting in and tweeting in saying they've got tickets, though. What can we expect? You can expect a good time. We're going to have a great time that night. The three of us will be there. Leafs Lunch, Scotty Mack, Landsberg, Carlo Koliakovo will be in attendance. Special guest will be there, too.
I'm excited for this special guest here.
Yep.
Trying to sniff around, but
they won't even tell us who it is.
Getting nothing.
Yeah, feathers. But and people are jacked up for this hotline, too. Hotline Bling. The Overdrive hotline, so...
Let's get a sponsor for it.
Yeah, we should. And also, you know, the other shows on the station, don't think you're using our voicemail. Like, I don't want to hear from Landsberg tomorrow being like, well, we'll use it too. No.
Yeah.
This is exclusively for Overdrive. Okay?
That's true.
So we'll tell you the number on Friday. We'll unveil it all. We got to record a voicemail.
Or Jerry will record one for you.
Should we get Jerry to leave a voicemail?
You think?
I don't know. We'll figure it out. Yeah. We got to figure it out by Friday.
By Friday, the phone line will be open throughout the weekend. Fill up the voicemail, and we will filter through it. We'll play some on Monday. All right?
Yes.
And Bills fans, if you're at the game or if you're looking forward to watching Josh Allen make his debut as a starter, he got into the game on Sunday, but as a starter, tell us what you think. Because I'm hoping it works out for him. I mean, I goof on the Bills a lot because it's easy material.
Right.
You know, they do it to themselves. But Josh Allen, they've been waiting for a quarterback and a savior since Jim Kelly. You know, it's been a long time, man. So hopefully for his sake and Bills Mafia, they're big supporters of that team. Buffalo's a football, gritty, blue-collar town.
Right.
Hopefully it works out for him. We mentioned this in the 4 p.m. hour. Doug Marrone, the head coach of the Jags, was doing a conference call with media in New England today. And he claims... Not only has he not watched the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl from this past year, he has not watched the Super Bowl in decades.
I think it's fake news.
Do you believe that?
No, I don't. It's fake news. Yeah. You don't just... Because you can't embarrass yourself going into future meetings with your assistant and say, you remember what Green Bay did in their championship game? They played like this. And if the guy says, I don't know, I didn't watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
You look like a donkey.
That's my stance.
I can believe that he didn't watch it live. Didn't watch it that night. Checked the score, saw who won or not. But in his research and his job, he's watched it. He's watched plays. Maybe he's had his video guy chop up what they did offensively.
Right.
He may not have watched the Philly special.
Exactly. You're playing Philly, you better know about the Philly special.
Exactly. He knows layers of it. Guaranteed he's seen it. But... If you ask him, did you watch it that night? No.
You know, maybe I'll give you that. maybe if you're quizzing him on who was playing the halftime show or, yeah, hey, did you see that Doritos commercial? He may be like, no, I didn't because I wasn't sitting there. But I don't see how this helps him. Like, I think Marrone is trying to put forth this front. I'm so tough. I'm so emotional. I'm so invested. If it's not my team, screw it.
Right.
Or I was so heartbroken that that's not us. So out of spite, I'm not going to do it. I don't think that really helps.
No.
Like, I really don't. Because we had Tim Graham on, mm-hmm, and he said Lindy Ruff actually used to claim the same thing. If he wasn't playing in the Cup Final, he wouldn't watch games.
Because he would get mad.
Right. And come on, man. Lindy Ruff played in the league. He's coached in the league. He coached in a Cup Final.
Yeah.
You're telling me a 7-game Cup Final, Lindy Ruff isn't going to sit down and watch a game?
Yeah, he's
There's
watching
no
it.
Way.
He's watching
You got to watch him, man. It's your
I
life.
I agree.
Right? Like, that's... Yep. These guys all claim that that's all they do is live, eat, breathe, sleep hockey or football or whatever.
In hockey, I could see Babcock not watching a team for a while because there's so many games. Sometimes you're playing 5 games in a week. You're not going to get to see what somebody out west is doing other than the highlights.
I can see it as a player. You're so devastated you got eliminated in the semifinals. You can't watch the finals.
Or Maybe. You're in Europe or something. You know, you're right. Married and you're like, we're out of here. I'm not going to get up at 4 a.m. and
yeah,
but Santorini to watch this game. But
I'm not.
I know assistants in the league that they're told, like, you better be watching the playoff games and making notes and doing video. And it's just
that's what I'm saying here about Marrone. Players are not paid to do that kind of stuff.
No,
you're a coach.
That's your job.
You are paid to know everything that's going on. You know, are you improving yourself as a coach if you're not watching the two best teams go out there and perform? I would say that it's probably hindering your coaching.
I watch a lot of hockey, and when I was a coach, you watch the team that you're playing sometimes 3 games leading up to the game that you play them. Go 3 games back. And you chop up as much as possible as you think the player would want to see. The most frustrating part, the saddest part, is I'll give you an example as a goalie coach. I would chop up, like, so much. I think I would have this, like, 8-minute package put together for my goalie. And my goalie would walk in and be like, I don't want to see anything. I'm good. I'm like, I just spent 5 hours watching 3 games, you know, fast forward everything, putting together a pre-scout.
I wouldn't put up with that. I'm going to say, you're sitting and watch. You're going to sit and watch it.
Listen, when you're dealing with, I mean, I'm not going to, it was Kiprusoff. And Kiprusoff, right. Like, I'm good.
What are you going to say to him?
And he would be fine. But as a coach, you better have that ready, because if he wants to see it, you better have it like at his fingertips.
Right.
That's the nowadays the computer.
I think system, nowadays the guys want to see that
they
stuff.
They do. And it's on iPads, it's pushed. A lot of guys have iPads and there's information pushed right to their phone or any type of tablet. You can see your shift automatically. Guys watch their most recent shift either on the bench or in between periods.
That would be so frustrating for me. And I'm not sure it's conducive to hockey.
I think it's overcoached sometimes.
Yeah. You know, because you're never going to be in the same position again. You're not going to get that play again.
I think what guys do, though, and I will agree with this, they'll want to see something. For example, I believe it was Marner or Matthews last year that they thought they didn't have enough time. And I think I heard DJ Smith say, you have more time there. And they looked at it and, you know, something like that where in your mind you think, okay, the guy's right on me. And then you see video evidence like you did have a split second and a split second in that
world. I never liked that information, though. I'd always come back to the bench and say, thanks. Next, that's over with that play.
I understand.
Like the guy would say, didn't you see me open in the slot?
Well, I get that.
No, I didn't. So I didn't pass you the puck. Next time if I see you, I will.
But if the player asks, like, hey, did he close on me quick enough? Because, you know, the guy blindsided him something. You can show him video evidence.
Some guys watch video. Great and get knowledge and all that, but every play is different. For the guys that say, oh, didn't you see me or look at this play, you could just. Every play is different.
Well, and it's also when you slow it down, it's unfair. You know, like that happened, that's been a big topic of discussion in the football world and on Twitter the past 48 hours, because there's a still shot that someone has of the Bears and Mitch Trubisky with a receiver in the end zone against Green Bay, wide open. Not a Packer within 10 or 15 feet, and it looks like Trubisky's looking right at him. It ended up, instead of an easy touchdown based on the video evidence, it was like a loss of 3 yards or something. He got sacked or whatever it was. But people say, press play, and you'll realize there was a Packer. Yeah, he looked 10 feet away, but that guy was going balls to the wall, and he would have picked that if Trubisky threw it.
Right.
So when you look at it like a moment in time, you're like, well, what the hell was that? The guy's wide open. Throw it. Yeah. Okay, press play, and you'll realize that when you throw it, the Packer defender is going to actually pick it off.
It's a moving target. You're right. That's where instinct and that's where tape doesn't tell the story or the whole story.
It can be deceptive.
But I think information and having it for your player is key, whether the player wants to use it that day or not. That was as a coach, something I hated.
Well, what about a new season? Like, you're not going to inundate these guys with video, you know, opening weekend. What's the point?
No.
You know, like, what are the Leafs going to, what are you doing?
You focus on yourself. That's what you do. A lot of times, I don't know how many times you've heard a coach saying, we're not worried about the other team. If we play the way that we're capable of, if we execute our breakouts and our neutral zone and the way we want to attack the goaltender in the offensive zone, they're going to have to deal with us. So that's where Babcock is going to say, you know, guys, this is how I want things played. Look at how many set plays they had on their power play last year. That's through practice and repetition. So I think that's what they're going to be, is focusing on themselves. And then along the way, it's adjustments.
Didn't Bruce Arians have a comment about somebody being open? He's an analyst now, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is doing analysis.
He described the player as wide-ass open.
Really?
Like, he wasn't just open. This guy's wide-ass open. Why aren't you passing him?
Brucey.
Right on TV.
Brucey
fired it up.
Well, he might get another gig at some point. He got out of Arizona at the right time. They did not look good week one. Now they're in L.A. taking on your Rams Sunday.
We got a decision to make, buddy.
Yeah,
we do. And it's one of the two L.A. teams, or I have an idea about the Saints.
Look at you coming around on the Saints week two at home against the Browns. The Browns have a better record.
Never know.
I do know the Browns have a tie and the Saints have a loss. Never know. All right, we'll come back and get to what Dregs had to say on Leafs Lunch about William Nylander and what he's hearing league-wide about what Nylander might be asking for. What's up with Carlson? Could he be out of Ottawa in the next 24 hours? And our best bets brought to you by ProLine. We'll get to that next. Best bets brought to you by ProLine, fading the Orioles tonight with the Athletics in Baltimore. Fading the Jays at Fenway. Boston hits 100 wins tonight, home plus over Toronto. And over the number Yankees-Twins in Minnesota. Throw down 20, you can score 60. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio, and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, was on Leafs Lunch today, and he said, he didn't get this from the Leafs, but he's talking to people around the league like he always does. He's heard that Nylander's camp may have been asking, or may still be asking, for as much as $8 million a year. That is rich.
It's rich, but I would ask for context. Because if they said, what number would you like on an eight-year contract? Then you've got to go high. You've got to, if it's a two-year deal, we're looking to give you a bridge. Okay, give me $8 million. Then I think that's ridiculous. So I would caution people to use the word context and know we don't know, we're not privy to the information, so it just looks bad. Because if you're looking at comparables, what makes you $8 million over Nikolai Ehlers?
It doesn't feel realistic, right? Like, you're kind of like, wait a minute. But we lose sight that there are always, you know, the Leafs are over here and Nylander's camp's over here, and generally speaking they meet somewhere in the middle. They probably both know pretty much where this is going to end up. It's about pressure points and who's going to flinch first, because they can either meet in the middle, whatever the two numbers are.
Yeah,
the Leafs can flinch, Nylander can flinch, or he can ask for a trade or they can trade him. That fourth option does not seem plausible to me. I don't see why it should get to that point, why it would get to that point.
Right.
Where the relationship deteriorates to that nature where they're like, this has got to be blown up. I don't see that happening.
Right.
I don't see the Leafs flinching, personally. I would guess they've been negotiating for a long time. The Leafs feel comfortable in their position of strength based on a lack of leverage for the Nylander camp, and they probably put forth a deal that they feel is very, very good, or at least
and a team with that much talent up front, you're not...
Well, Nylander is the fifth best forward, in my opinion. Like, if I'm ranking this, and maybe we'll do this tomorrow.
Yeah.
I got Matthews 1, Tavares 2, Marner 3, Kadri 4, Nylander 5. If I'm playing a game tonight,
yeah,
that's how I would
rank
it.
That makes sense, yeah.
Now, that's because they've got so much talent. You know, if Nylander's on other teams in the league, he'd be up close to the best player maybe or real close to it.
Maybe he's 2 or 3. Like, yeah.
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 I mean, that's the position you're in, but the Leafs are feeling pretty confident, and they're not going to disrespect him. I don't think they will. I don't think they should. But if he takes a week to get into camp, they're not going to lose sleep over that.
No.
So we'll see, because they report tomorrow, and then they're off to Niagara Falls, and until he gets a contract, because he's not holding out, as we established earlier, he doesn't have a contract. They're negotiating.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Let's get going.
Let's get going. Exactly, exactly, man. Like, we need Nylander to sign, a couple of other guys, Morrissey in Winnipeg, Reinhart in
Buffalo,
Buffalo, Darnell Nurse in Edmonton. There's a couple of big RFAs that still need a contract.
We need Carlson
to get traded, and then let's get going.
And then let's get to puck drop. Let's fast forward through preseason.
And when you're a young kid like that, who's going into his third year in the NHL?
Full year.
Every day counts. I mean, because you're talking about coming back from Sweden. I don't think he's going to come. I don't think he's going to say to his agent, because training camp's starting, I got to be in Toronto. Or maybe he does. I don't know. But it's just, you got to. It's just so important. You don't want to be that guy, because you're going to have expectations once the contract is signed. And it's not going to be like you're making $650,000. So you got to be ready to rock. And if you don't, everyone's going to be. Like, you're just more pressure on yourself saying, oh, you demanded all this money and look at you out there.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Oh, he's got to perform for sure.
Because you're right. If he gets 18 goals or 20 goals, like he had, what did he have last year? 22, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if he gets 20, people are like, okay, you're gonna, you know, this is what $6 million gets you. But if, say, he gets more.
Well, and that's what he's probably banking on.
But and
give me time to grow, and I'm going to keep getting better, which I think he will.
But say he is what he is. Say he's a 60-point guy, and we know now. Once you sign a contract for a lot of money, people talk. The number is right beside your name. Well, this is what $7 million gets you for a defenseman. That's what it was for Nuff all the time. Well, that's what $7 million gets you. Mm-hmm. Like. There's always, you're going to be compared to your contract. And that's, you signed it.
Yep. You accepted the money. You're getting paid every 2 weeks.
With that comes a responsibility of earning it night in and night out.
Well, and that's where Nylander, Marner, Matthews are in a different position than a guy like Tavares, where this is his last big deal, more than likely.
Yeah.
Even if Nylander signs, even if it's an 8-year deal, okay, he'll be 30 in a UFA. I think he's going to be in the league for a long time and a good player. It's easy for me to say it's not my money, but he's going to get another contract, I would think. And if he keeps performing and keeps growing, he could get paid a lot of money down the road.
Yeah.
But where,
like, so that's where maybe he's saying, okay, if I'm going on an 8-year deal, give me $8 million a year.
Yeah, which would be his, he can ask for whatever he wants, you know, and it's not like Nylander is sitting down with Dubas and punching numbers. He's got an agent. His agent is going to represent him like he should.
Yeah.
And they're fighting for every penny they can get, as they should. The Leafs are going to fight for every penny they can keep, as they should. Mm-hmm. Puts Leaf fans in an awkward position, because as much as you love William Nylander, as I said earlier, you're praying the Leafs win the negotiation.
I said it earlier, I have a difficult time understanding how a kid who scored 20 goals 2 years in a row, he found his issues with Mike Babcock, with consistency and working, and found himself on the fourth line. I don't know. Somewhere around $6 million should work, shouldn't it?
It should.
I think he's uncomfortable with him being the bar that's going to be set.
And you mentioned that earlier. He's like, he's the guinea pig, basically saying, "Well, am I going to really lowball myself here?"
Because
he's probably, if he was smart, he would be, like other guys have talked, Carlson and Doughty talked, wouldn't you, or would it be uncomfortable to go up to Mitch Marner and say, "Hey, what are you looking for? Or what do you think you're doing here?
Yeah.
What's your number?"
That would be my thought if I was Nylander. I'd be like,
yeah.
Okay, what if I capitulate here and I'm like, okay, I want to get into camp. You got me, guys. 6 years at six. Which is still a really good contract. Yeah. Oh, I mean, let's be honest.
Broke.
But him thinking, you know, Dubas has said the right thing, Shanahan said the right thing, we're all staying, Marner's going to take it, and then next year Marner holds out for 2 weeks, or doesn't sign for 2 weeks, and the Leafs are like, all right, here you go.
But
$9 million a year.
You're right.
Nylander's like, well, why didn't I do that?
Well, difference is 1 year of play. That's the only thing I would say, because Mitch Marner,
if he puts up monster
numbers, has an opportunity to go and play for a contract this year. William Nylander needs a contract to play hockey this year. So that's why I still believe in his best interest is a bridge. Not a 1 year, because I don't think Toronto
Leafs
will give
are
it to
do that.
But
I can't
a couple years, 2-3 years, and you're still going to make, he's not going to be starving. Even if it's a 3 year deal at $6 a year, then you get to the next level. Like, I think he's got nothing but time. That's the beauty of this. You just mentioned an 8 year deal puts him at 31. I think he's, isn't he 23?
He's around.
Yeah,
there,
so
anyway.
So that puts him at 31 years old.
Guy that could
like
get
still
another
gonna,
deal.
Exactly. Like, you're, this isn't your.
You got your whole career ahead of you.
Exactly. This isn't the Tavares situation at 27.
Mm. Do we think Eric Carlson will be
by our
in
show
Ottawa
tomorrow
by 4 p.m.? Or
I
what?
Think we'll be talking about where he has been traded to and what was the return.
I feel like this is deja vu. We did this at the trade deadline. Remember at the trade deadline, we're like, so do we think Carlson's out of here by the time we get on the air tomorrow? And
yeah.
You know.
I think when the fellas, they're kind of... they're all over it, and they're saying it's probably going to happen.
Sniffing out. That's
weird
well,
timing.
And the Melnick video, that may be connected as well. He may have known.
Yeah, okay. That might have been the precursor. Hey.
This is coming. We know what we're getting for the most part.
Right.
And we need to make sure we get a message out beforehand. You know, that may have been more manipulative than we gave it credit for. Because we goofed on it a lot. But
right.
There may have been some sort of hidden meaning behind it.
Anyway. Well, tomorrow, around 4:01 or 02,
we're going to be talking about it.
We will be talking about an Eric Carlson trade
to Tampa.
No, we'll chat then,
dude. You've been chopping this up since we got back.
6:53.
I can't help you any more than that.
I'm the one that will put it on a platter for you.
53. We're out. All you had to
I
do. What
that.
I wanted to say. We're going to talk about Eric Carlson at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.